with CAP over the last maybe 5 years or so. And there's actually a real need for it in the city. Lots of people who are in chronic debt problems and making phone calls to CAP, but CAP doesn't currently have the number of centres in Bristol to service all of those people. And what I'm really impressed with, it's an amazing organisation which has got very slick and efficient business processes and a way of working. And at the same time, it's got big compassion, and the message of Jesus and the life that he offers is really central to the heart of CAP. They've got this bell that they ring. They've got this mill up in Bradford, which is where they have their sort of head offices. And there's a bell that they ring in this office when someone becomes a Christian. And everyone stops in the office and prays for this person that's become a Christian. I find that really, really moving every time I hear about that. And I've been friends with Steve Haynes, who's come to speak to us this morning, for about 4 or 5 years, something like that now. For a couple of years, we were in this, in a church leaders coaching group. And so we'd meet up online, once a week. And so I got to know Steve really well. And he's, and within the sort of fivefold giftings, pastor, prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, Steve has stood out to me as someone who's strong in the pastoral gifting. And that for me is really, particularly in those 2 years of walking quite closely, really helped me. He really encouraged me and helped to nurture that side of me. So it's great to have a connection with him through CAP as well. And he's been meeting up with the city council and Marvin as well, to look at Bristol and CAP's involvement in the city. And so, here's Steve. He's come to speak to us this morning. And, as he comes, let's pray. Lord, we love this city. We love these villages around us that you've put us in. You put us in, and we want to bring your message of hope and of life to these communities, to the city of Bristol, to the area around Bristol. And Lord, we love this organisation CAP. I certainly do. All I've heard about it, and pray that you speak to us this morning through Steve, sharing your heart for the poor. And we pray for us as a church in Bristol, in Greater Bristol, that we can be equipped to love in practical ways, helping people come out of debt, out of financial crisis, and also discover a personal relationship with Jesus. So we're praying for our city and Greater Bristol in that, and we recognise that you're here with us now. So we pray that you speak to us. Amen.
Going to fall off. I'll knock that off. That's going down there. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Chris. I'm thrilled to be with you. This is my first time at Hope Church, although I did turn up midweek once and had a great time meeting a few people. I know Stan and a few others as well. And for me to be here this morning was brilliant. Just surprised and delighted to meet Colin and Erica Lee, who were friends from way back, and then we went in different directions. I had no idea that they lived in Bristol, let alone came to Hope Church. And they've just spoken so highly of the home that they found here with you guys. So that's wonderful. Right, at this point, I have to put my glasses on. I cannot see what's on my notes. I can see my notes, I can't see you now, but never mind. Hey. So I was hoping to be here this morning with my wife, Marissa. We have been staying with my parents in South Wales for a few days, but my mum, who's not well, Marissa just needed to stay behind to care for her today. So one of the first things I need to do, really, is just take a photo. I want you all to smile. It's okay, you can go back to your normal face afterwards. So, everybody smile. You can wave if you want as well. After three. One, two, three. There we go. I will also prove to my boss at work that I've actually been here. So I'm on the staff of Christians Against Poverty, which is a Christ-centered charity with a network of over 600 churches across the UK who are delivering life-transforming help to the poor and marginalised in all sorts of different places, from almost Land's End to almost John of Groats, although we do have many gaps, as Chris just said. Our mission is to equip the local church to help people get free from debt or to find work or to overcome addictions or to learn vital life skills. And all of this is coupled with the offer of supportive community that the church provides and the good news of Jesus. We're unashamedly Christians against poverty. Head office is in Bradford, where it all started 21 years ago and where I work. But I'm not from Yorkshire. You may have picked that up from my accent. Have a guess. Where am I from? I'm from the south, really. Yeah, so grew up in South Wales, but moved to Southampton as an adult. Been there for most of my life. That's where I connected with Chris in that coaching group that we did together. I was pastor of a church there. And then a couple of years, well, in 2011, we opened a CAP debt center, helping people out of debt in our community. And although I'm not there anymore, it's still going really strong. And many, many people really getting their financial issues resolved, but also a good number coming to faith in Christ and integrated into church life. And it's wonderful. I love it. So last May, I met up with Chris, met him in the flesh for the first time. He kind of opened some doors for us at CAP here in Bristol. And it was really God opening the door. It's been extraordinary since then over the last few months. And there is so much potential here for the church to be engaged with the poor, the marginalized, and bring the hope of Jesus in amazing ways. And so one of the outcomes from all of that is Chris inviting me here to speak to you. And hopefully I can, from his introduction, you know that he has been thinking and the leadership have been thinking about Hope Community Church, perhaps even opening a debt center for this part of Bristol and parts that aren't being reached. That may be one thing that we get a little closer to this morning. So just listen up. It may be that God will nudge you and speak to you about getting involved in that. I know from Chris and just how much you love your community and what a heart for the poor you've got, how, you know, you've got food banks, soup run, you're doing stuff with mothers and parents and toddlers, you've got the amazing Hope on Wednesdays, you're making a difference in the name of Jesus, and I love, as a church, from all that I've heard about you, and talking to Silas and Annie, how you soak everything in prayer. There's a real sense that unless God builds it, then it's being built in vain. And so whatever comes out of today, let it be something that God brings to birth. Yep. Whether it's for you individually, God stirring you to maybe give or get behind what we're doing to pray or to volunteer. Let it be what God does. Let it be what he prompts. So my talk is called Make Space for the Poor. And I'm going to just look at three things. Making space for the poor in your thinking and theology, making space for the poor in your treasure, and making space for the poor in your time and at your table. And I know you're doing these things, so it's really about keep doing it and do more and more. You know that Paul says in Galatians, don't grow weary in well-doing. It is possible for us to get weary or to feel we're at capacity, but God just keeps saying, come on, there's more. So I pray that some of you, I think hopefully all of you will want to get behind just caring for the poor in prayer and wherever you can. Some of you might be moved to give generously and share your resources with the poor, and it may be that you want to do that through giving to our work. I'll tell you more about that later. And finally, some of you, I hope, will want to put your hands up to give some of your time and energy either to working with a project that we're involved with or something else that God puts on your heart. So making space for the poor in your thinking and theology. God's love and compassion for the poor. Oh, I'm supposed to be doing this, aren't I? Yeah, I'd forgotten that. I will find the right button. Ah, yeah, you told me, didn't you? Point it in the right direction, press the right button. Anything happening? Is it on? It might not even be on. Yeah, we're a couple of slides into this now. Oh dear. And I was a pastor for many years. We just stood there with one slide most weeks. Okay. Right. So this doesn't work. I'm putting it in my pocket. No, I'm going to put it there. Otherwise, I'll take it home. Right. So God's compassion for the poor runs throughout the whole of Scripture. It's from the Law to the Prophets, from the Psalms, the Gospels, from Paul to James, constantly urging us to care for the poor, to speak up for, make space for the poor. People, those people who are struggling to survive physically, emotionally, spiritually, people with no voice, no influence, no power in our society. And if you see how often this is mentioned in the Bible, compared to some of the other things that we really get worked up about, we do need constant reminding. And God wants us just to cultivate a generous heart and for generous actions and to not grow weary in that. So in Romans 12, it says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right, doing the right things comes from having the right thinking, first of all. Oh, sorry. Next slide. Next one. Yes! Okay. Right. And so I'm gonna dive into Psalms and Proverbs. Psalm 82, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Proverbs 21, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. I was preaching on living with unanswered prayer a week or two ago. This is one of the reasons sometimes our prayers are not answered, is because we shut our ears to the cries of the poor. The theme is carried on in the prophets, Isaiah 58. God says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So the Israelites were not living lives that reflected God's heart of compassion for the poor. And so all of their praying, all of their worship, all of their fasting, their quiet times, whatever, was not getting through to God. Because God says, what I really want for you to do is to care for the poor. So verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 58. Next one. Say, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. It's kind of getting priorities right, and that's how God sees it. So it should come really as no surprise that Jesus himself chose Isaiah chapter 61 when he announced his ministry and his mission, his manifesto, his inaugural speech, which was a summary of what he was here for. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As his followers, we need to ask ourselves, is his mission our mission? Is the purpose of his life the purpose of our lives too, which is to proclaim good news to the poor? Because it's not enough just to pray. It's not enough to be part of a good church or even to do the right things and lead an upright life without being involved in one way or another in caring for and looking after the poor. James says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to look after the poor. In Galatians, Paul tells how he was checking in with the apostles in Jerusalem about the gospel that he was preaching to the Gentiles and checking that it lined up with what the apostles in Jerusalem believed was right. And basically, after lots of talking, they said, carry on doing what you're doing. But there's just one thing, one important piece of teaching that we want you to remember. And what was that? Well, Galatians 2:10, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. That's the very thing I was eager to do all along. So let's make sure we remember the poor in our thinking, our theology. Right thinking leads to right care, compassion, and action on behalf of the poor. Now I want us to look at making space for the poor in our treasure. Yes. When Jesus preached the message of the kingdom, calling people to repentance and faith, one of the first things that he often challenged people on who responded was to give liberally to the poor. And way back in the Old Testament, when God set out the law for his people, he made it very clear that he wants us to make space for the poor with our treasure, with our income and what we own. So Leviticus 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick grapes before they have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Now today, the majority of people aren't farmers or have vineyards, but the principle is the same. We need a system in place to ensure that the poor are not forgotten. So paraphrasing that passage from Leviticus, don't consume all your produce and keep your wealth for yourself. Don't go right to the edges of your financial field, reaping it all for yourself. Leave some space on the edges of all you earn and own to care for the poor. What out of your total income have you left for the poor? Make space in your finances for the poor. Make sure you have a plan in place to provide for the poor with your income. So that kind of is what I feel God says to us through that. In the ancient Middle East, it meant to leave the edge of the field unharvested. For you and me, it could mean setting up a standing order or direct debit, making sure we're regularly serving the poor. Then we're to make space for the poor with our time and around our table. Personally, I think that making space for the poor with our time is probably one of the most challenging areas in our busy, time-poor society. I mean, it's so manic, isn't it? There's always so much to do. And somehow we're trapped in that. But actually, the story of the Good Samaritan really helps us with this. When that Samaritan finds the man on the side of the road and gives his money to help him and gets involved, he gives his time. He was on a business trip. He was going somewhere. He got places to go, people to see, but he stopped. He got involved in the mess and he was prepared to be delayed. Gave his time. He bandaged the man up, took him on a slow journey on his donkey to an inn. So it's not just about helping at arm's length. And sometimes that's all we can do, but finding ways to get up close, finding ways to be involved in the mess. It can be unpredictable, it can be inconvenient, and it can be challenging. But that's what God wants of us, to give of our time and of ourselves. And then to make space for the poor around our table. In Luke 14, Jesus talks about... I love this. I didn't even know that the word luncheon was in the Bible until this new version of the NIV came out. I'm not even going to read that. But he goes on to say, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is quite clear that we're not simply to be friends with those who are like us. We're meant to include the poor in our hospitality, in our lives, in our time, around our tables. And a church that really is for the poor learns how to include people at the margins, those who are different, those who may bring with them some difficulties. And I know that this is you. I just know it. And, you know, and I think God just loves that and pours out his favor on you because you care for the poor. So how do we connect the church with those who are on the margins? This can be quite challenging, really. Many of the churches that we engage with, in fact, probably the large proportion of churches in the UK, kind of are quite middle class. They just don't even have those connections with people who are different to them or whose lives are very challenging. But this is where we as a charity can often really help, because opening a CAP service is actually about connecting God's people, the church, with the people who are hurting and broken in our communities. People that we might not have otherwise met. Certainly that was my experience in Southampton. Our church was in a middle class town on the outskirts of Southampton, middle class church members mostly. The other side of the motorway, almost a stone's throw away, was a very poor, deprived housing estate. We'd done great kids' work on it for years, but nothing much more than that, and there'd been nothing really to show. Until when we opened our CAP debt centre, we began to find ways of connecting with people whose lives were really chaotic and dysfunctional, and they were desperate. And many of them were from that estate. And when I left that church a few years ago, and I know it's still going, there was a thriving missional community on that estate, made up of people who cared and made up of people who lived on that estate and sharing their lives together. That just was facilitated through what we did with the CAP Centre. But here in Bristol, there will be mums who've had to look their children in the eyes and say, there's nothing for tea. We find that 2/3 of the clients that we work with through CAP have missed meals regularly before coming to us for help. 4 years ago, in my own village, just outside Southampton, the death of a man who was a year or two older than me, probably, from our village, made the front pages of the local newspaper. He'd been out of work for several years. Then he'd become, through ill health, and then for some reason, I don't know why, he lost his job seeker's allowance. And so, to make ends meet, he borrowed from a payday loan company. And within a year, within 12 months, this had spiraled to a debt of £20,000. Some of the interest was at £5,000. He actually had 20 different loans, one to pay off the last one. And in the end, it was too much. And with an overdose of medication, he took his own life. And it still grieves me that if he'd picked up the phone and asked for help from Christians Against Poverty, we could have given him hope and a way out. In fact, a shocking 38% of the people that we help through the local church have considered suicide as the only way out before they contact us. And we thank God that it is an very, very, very tiny number of people whom we've started to work with who still take that course of action. I think it's just one or two. Jesus wants us to proclaim good news to the poor. It was his mission, and as his followers, it should be ours as well. So getting involved in the mess and in people's lives, helping practically wherever we can. So how does it work? How does a CAP debt center work? Well, it deals with one of the main routes into poverty. There are five: severe debt, unemployment, addiction, family breakdown, educational failure. And they're often interconnected. And to be honest, from my observations and from the research we've done, is that just sheer poverty is a route into debt, because sometimes there just is not enough to pay the bills. So what we do is enable the local church to be the answer to some of the biggest causes of poverty in the nation through a service that's run locally, caring for local people. People who are crushed under the weight of debt, and it's horrific. It stops people sleeping. They stop opening the post. They don't answer the phone. They certainly don't answer the door. because of the bailiffs. But we can lift that burden, absolutely lift it so people can breathe again. In fact, we have two debt centres in Bristol, one in the northeast and one in the northwest of the city, and they cover those areas really well. We're yet to have anything right in the centre of the city or south of the river. But that's our prayer. That's what we believe in God for. So how it works is that a trained debt coach, who will also be the centre manager and run the thing, and a team of befrienders from this partner church will visit clients in their home. 99% of the time it's always home-based. Very rarely it might not be. Giving support, love, and collecting that person's information about their finances. And at the same time then, our head office team, and we've got hundreds of people working in Bradford on this, are getting to work sorting out the debts, producing budgets. We take the chaos out of all the demand letters that are piled up there, often unopened, and create a budget that will give people a way out of debt and into a future filled with hope. This means that rent and bills are being paid on time. Parents can feed their families, heat their homes. We speak up for our clients by negotiating with their creditors so that unfair interest and charges are stopped or reduced. Affordable repayments are set up. We silence the constant phone calls, the endless demands, the bills dropping through the door, the knocking on the door by bailiffs. And it really works. 2,500 people go debt-free every year. And these are people that are often not able to sort that out for themselves. They're vulnerable people often. £3 million is repaid or written off every month. 5 years later, after going debt-free, 93% of our clients from the surveys that we do are free from problem debt. 82% are still using a budget as a way of staying in control. How many of you know Martin Lewis, money-saving expert? Yeah, Breakfast TV, Radio 4, you name it, Radio 2, he's everywhere. Doesn't claim to be a Christian himself, but he constantly recommends CAP. Here are his words. CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. And you know, it's recognized we're not big in the debt management industry, as it were. There are other people doing lots more than us, but none do it in such a wraparound, hands-on way that really cares for people's total needs. And we were recognized in 2017 as Personal Debt Solutions Provider of the Year, which was great. I challenge you to repeat that. So we don't just do debt centres, we do other stuff as well. So many churches run what we call our group services, which are job clubs. We have one in Bristol already, helping people who've been out of work for many years back into work. We've got release groups, which will be a bit like your recovery course here, helping people overcome addictions. We've got life skills, which helps people to learn to live well on a low income. I don't have time, but if you're interested, I can tell you more about those. In addition, the baby of the family is something called CAP Money. Now, I think you used to run it here, so some of you may be familiar with it. It's a simple 3-week course, really aimed at helping people stay out of debt and to manage better on a low income. And in those 3 weeks, we give people the skills to budget, to save, and to spend wisely. And we've got about 700 churches running that as well, which makes us the largest face-to-face provider of money education in the UK. The church. It's wonderful, isn't it? I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. But that's not all. The thing that motivates us and drives us is that there's more to the good news than just getting out of debt or finding a job. Truly preaching the good news means telling people about Jesus, giving them that opportunity. So we always offer our frontline workers, always offer to pray for clients, to give God a chance to move in their lives. We know that having faith in Jesus is what really transforms people, brings true freedom, fills emptiness. And becoming part of a church, a new community of friends and family, eradicates loneliness and isolation. God sets the lonely in families. So salvation is part of what we offer through the local church doing this work. It's not for everyone. And the service is the same, however people want to kind of take the God bit or not. But in 2016, we had reported back to us from the churches we work with, 1,054 people make commitments to follow Christ. And I know the figure's higher for 2017. We're just waiting for that all to be checked, but it's higher. And that happened in 600 churches across the UK. Churches just like this. In Bristol itself, our two debt centres have seen 14 people adults come to Christ, four children as well. And the great thing is that of that 14, that's eight in the last year. The momentum is gathering and God's doing something. But last year from parts of Bristol that we don't have coverage, we received 25 calls from people who'd heard about us from somewhere. We don't advertise in the south of Bristol, but they'd heard about us, rung our head office, desperate with their debts, and we couldn't help them. We had to signpost them to other services. The need is huge. Quick point on how we fund all of this. Government money usually has strings attached. So we rely almost entirely on churches and on about 28,000 individual Christian supporters, people who believe that everyone should have the opportunity to hear about God's love for them. So I'm going to come back. We're going to watch a short video now, which tells the stories of three of our clients. One a job center, job club client, one a release group client, and one a debt client. You'll hear from them the transformation in their lives. And then after that, I'm just going to wrap up and ask you to consider how you might want to respond to whatever God is prompting you to do this morning.
That I just lost all hope, to be honest, that it wasn't going to happen for me, no one was going to help me, and I was doomed.
I did attempt suicide in the brinks of despair. I did, I think for a year I just carried on drinking.
I counted the application, job applications, one year, over 500 job applications.
I didn't want to be around my children, I just didn't want to live anymore, I couldn't see a way out.
I wanted to kill myself, so, to overdose.
Tried nothing really, and nothing to look forward to.
If I was very lucky, I'd wake up in my flat. If not, nine times out of ten, it was in Durrington police station.
It becomes one big blur.
We had bailiffs at the door, a lot.
You just don't care about
I wanted my life gone.
The debts were so bad.
Say, why get the going job?
I'm not saying
about the release group because I contacted Kat and I said I had issues with addictions, especially around drink. Where the actual group was based was actually in a church, and yeah, I'll be honest, it might have been the fact I knew that I'd probably have something to eat there and a drink that got me through the door. The guy that ran it was brilliant, and through the weeks we looked at all different topics like anger, forgiveness, and it worked, and it did work for me. You know, since I found God, I don't, any situation I go into now, I believe he's there. I mean, he's here right now. Before the release group, I was drinking pretty much every weekend. So since the release group, yeah, not touched a drop.
I'd been out of work for a long period of time, and I thought I'd heard everything. So we did this interview session. I had a real interview the following day. Every question that we'd gone over was asked me again that day, and it was so easy. It was such a breeze. I was so relaxed. I believe that's one of the reasons that I got the job. And most of the people that I started with are good friends, and most of them have jobs. Since I've become involved with CAP, I became a Christian, which I didn't expect. So a fantastic Lord's with us all the time, a wonderful life.
I went along to St John's and I met Emma, and I remember walking through St John's Church, and there was an instant connection. I felt absolutely at peace. I was frightened because I knew I had so much paperwork and debt. I didn't know what to expect or where to begin, to be honest with you. And she sat me down and she was absolutely so kind and just made me feel at ease. And we started our journey. I remember actually helping me with food as well that day, because I had no food. The bankruptcy was all filed and filled out at head office, which was amazing. It was in two packs, and one was for me and one was for the bankruptcy. And then we went up, Emma and I went up to the court. It was amazing. Just, you know, just the weight lifting. And today I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe this is God's will. And I feel that I've always had a hole in my soul and my life, but it's being fulfilled now. So I feel I have peace of mind and I feel quite content. You know, and I'm really grateful, really, really grateful for Christians Against Poverty, because without them, I wouldn't be here today.
I have a clean, sober life. I don't smoke anymore. I have my family back. I have a contact with my mum and dad that I've never had. We get on, we laugh about so much stuff, there's no arguments. And I believe that had I not made the decision of contacting CAP, probably would never have got that. So thank you, CAP.
Yeah, the CAP job's brilliant. There's something for everybody that's out of work. And since I got a job within the first month, absolutely fantastic. New life, new leaf, all systems go. I'm a Christian and I love it. I'm a happy Christian. So thanks a lot out there, all you people at CAP.
Since meeting Christians Against Poverty, I've found a faith which I'm truly grateful for. I'm debt free, I don't drink anymore. I've got my family back, I'm a nan. I worship every Sunday and I'm so happy to go forward for the rest of my life debt free and happy. And for that I'm truly grateful. Would you consider giving £12 a month to Christians Against Poverty to change somebody's life like mine forever? Thank you.
Okay. So there are three things I'd like you to offer you the opportunity for this morning. First of all, I've got a great book that you can take away. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. That's free. I'd like you to consider whether you want to give to our work. We can only do this because we've got Christians like yourselves right across the UK funding us regularly. But I want to focus in on volunteering, because that's the reason Chris invited me here, was because of your desire to get involved and do something with CAP. So let's spend the most time looking at that. What would it take to open a CAP debt center in Bristol? So next slide. There we go. We need a center manager, the first debt coach, if you like, and it needs to be someone with a heart for the poor. It needs to be a people person, not a financial whiz kid. Really, the head office does all of the complicated financial stuff. People person. Confident about sharing your faith, and that you've got that you want to see people come to know Jesus. You've got to have the drive to be able to lead a new ministry, to pioneer, to gather a team, to promote the work. And you've got to have 16 hours a week. That's what it takes, which will allow you to take on 4 new clients a month. So over the course of the year, more than 40 new clients. Then there's a need for other volunteers as well, because it's never a single person. The befrienders play a crucial role in making sure that people aren't just helped out of debt, but are offered real friendship and support, integrated into church life wherever there's that opportunity. People supporting, people doing admin and helping with promotion and so on. So that's what you'll need if you want to open a debt center. If you think, hey, maybe that could be me, either go to Chris and tell him straight away, or if you want more information, come and speak to me afterwards to find out a bit more about it, and then go and speak to Chris, okay? Or to someone on the leadership team. There's one other area where you could consider volunteering. We spoke about the CAP Money course, our simple 3-week budgeting course. We have had an amazing door open with Bristol City Council. The head of early years has asked us to find churches that will run the CAP Money course during the daytime for parents of each of the 22 children's centres in Bristol as part of their adult learning. And we've got 4 pilots about to start up. They'll be starting very soon. But we've got opportunity for at least 18 other churches to get involved in this. And to run the course, maybe it's 3 sessions of about 1.5 hours, 2 hours. Maybe run it up to 3 times a year, once a term. And we've got a training day in Bristol on Saturday the 3rd of March. If you think, I could give 3 hours, or do 3 sessions once a term running this, I'd love to get trained to do it. Find out from me afterwards about the CAP Money course and the training day in Bristol. We'll send you details. So, coming back to just getting behind us with prayer, anybody who wants to be on our mailing list, receive, I think it's about 4 times a year, something in the post, and some emails in between, we'll give you a copy of this book, Nevertheless. Who's read Nevertheless? I know at least one. Oh, goodness me. Half of you. Right. So those that haven't got it, if you want to read it, it's the story of our charity told through the journals of our founder, John Kirkby. It's rough. It's raw. It's full of faith. It's his story of going right to the edge and then God providing. In some senses, reading this reminded me of George Mueller's diaries, which was so inspirational to me. Different in many ways, but still God breaking in at the last minute. And that's free if you want to be on our mailing list and pray for us. And if you want to give, then the amount of £12, that's the average, but honestly, smaller gifts are incredibly welcome. Or if you want to give more, we have an opportunity to be a vision sponsor for those who give £50 a month, which is a kind of a club that John is getting together of people who really get behind the work. Then on your chairs or between the chairs, there are some forms here. This you can use just to put your details if you simply want to pray for us and have a copy of the book. But if you want to give, then you can fill out the section on this form. And if you want to give but need to talk to someone else about the amount, or you haven't got your bank details with you, that's not a problem. There's a little box you can tick that just says that you would like to give right at the top. And as long as you give us your details, we'll get in touch and complete the rest of it in the next couple of weeks or so. And it also gives you a chance to think it through properly. So again, you'll get a copy of Nevertheless, and I've also got some copies of Journeys of Hope for you as well. So that's my pitch. That's my ask. In some way, I hope that everyone feels that they can respond to what we've talked about this morning, that it will have given you fresh motivation for God's calling on this church and on you to be involved in the lives of the poor and see people come to Christ and become disciples out of all sorts of different backgrounds. Can I pray for you? Father, thank you so much for this wonderful, authentic church with a heart for its community, caring for the broken, building family here around the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray for your favor upon the church and its leaders and every member, and pray that whatever you want for the city of Bristol in terms of cap debt centers being opened in areas not covered, Lord, that you will do that, and that whatever you want hope to do, that people will know what's right and know the timing as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.
Great. We'll finish there. That's a good challenge. Got some stuff to thinking about. Do go and collect kids, and we're done.